Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you to all of you who've been visiting that site and using it to your advantage. I appreciate it. I'm glad you're doing it. And thank you for all the nice comments that we get from you and telling us how much you enjoy it. It means a lot to us because we work hard to make all that available to you for free. At no charge to you, thanks to our corporate partners, and we're going to keep doing it as long as we can, and as long as you'll keep checking it out and using it to your advantage. We like doing that, and don't forget the newsletter. You can subscribe to that. We'll send it to you once a week by email, and don't forget our blog. It's there, too, the new one. It's kind of new, and it's different from everybody else's blog, I promise you. Bill Hubbard is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. William Hubbard is the author of The New Battle Over Workplace Privacy and the Medical Privacy Rule. He is... They also a syndicated columnist. Many of you have seen his column around, especially in the Chicagoland area. And he's our good friend. Bill, welcome back to the show.
Good morning. Always glad to be here.
Good to have you here. Bill, one of the big things that's been going on recently that I've been talking a lot about, primarily with regard to healthcare, is the ability for small business owners to compete across the marketplace, not just with their peers, but with larger companies for employees, for the right employees, to make sure that we have too many hats to wear, not enough heads to put them on. We got to make sure we got the right heads. And as you know, unemployment is way down right now. And so it's hard to find the right people. And when we do find them, we've got to be able to be competitive with our benefits packages, don't we?
Yes, we do. We got to offer a good salary, and we've just as importantly, we've got to offer a good competitive benefit package, and that covers things that can range from pay for time off to the group insurance plans to retirement plans to educational development plans. There's a whole host of areas that are part of that whole benefit package.
Well, you've been doing a little research on some national averages. Can you talk to us about that a little bit?
Well, I've been doing some work helping some clients sort out some of these issues, and one of the sources of information is the U.S. Department of Labor's Bureau of Labor Statistics, and there's a host of information that talks about what pay issues are and what benefit issues are. And in terms of some of the benefits issues, I took a look at, giving some feedback to a client, to give them an idea of what are other organizations doing, what's competitive practice for benefits. And one of the findings is that the paid leave benefits are the most commonly offered one. According to the government data, holiday and vacations are offered by typically 77% of employees receive this type of a benefit.
So don't you suspect that the other 23% are part-timers?
Very likely.
Because most people, even little companies, give their people some vacation and some paid holidays.
Pretty much. These are the most common benefits that we see, and there are some small organizations or some service organizations that may not offer the paid benefit, but typically it's the part-time employee who does not receive the paid time off.
Right. Yeah, that's even that, though, a lot of times, we paid our part-timers holiday and vacation. They just get, pro rata. I mean, it's based on their hours that they've done during the year.
Right.
Even a lot of people, give their part-time people that way. Maybe they don't get depending on how long they work there, depending on how many hours they work, they may not get a week's vacation or whatever, but they typically will get paid vacations, especially on the national holiday.
And
I think most people do that.
I've done a lot of work for a lot of smaller firms, and there are a few small organizations that say, well, we just can't afford it for the part-timer.
Right.
So there are a few that do have that, and as a business owner, this is one of the things that you really need to decide is how critical is this issue. You need to focus to provide the benefit for your full-time workers, but if you have a significant contingent of part-time workers or if you've had some long-term part-time workers who contribute a lot to the organization, then the thoughts begin to open up to offer this type of benefit to those people.
I agree. All right, what's next? What's the next topic?
Next key area relates to the group health plans.
Yeah.
And this is the one where we're really seeing a lot of transition and a lot of price pressure in terms of what the benefit offerings are. According to the data, only 63% of organizations offer this benefit for their workers. And of the workers that have the benefit available to them, interestingly enough, only 53% had participate in this type of a plan. Likewise, with the
Say that again. Repeat that last part.
Okay. Of employees who were offered medical care plans,
right,
only 53% participated in the plans.
Now, there are probably two reasons for that, Bill, right? I'm going to say two, and you tell me if there's another one. One is their spouse is already covered in another area in their job, and they don't need that. There's no sense of paying their part of it into the plan. Meet people like that all the time.
Right.
And the insurance isn't going to double up just because you got two plans. You're going to get one. You're going to get the bill paid, not double. The other thing is some people just think they're going to live forever, especially a lot of young people, and they just don't want to pay their part of it.
Or they feel they can't afford it.
Well, that may be so. That's the other part.
Sometimes there's this interest of, well, I don't feel like I need it. And then the other aspect of it is, well, I sure would like to have it if I could afford it. But if I'm just making $6.50 or $7 or $8 an hour and I'm got rent to pay and car to pay and insurance to pay and food to put on the table and so on, it's very difficult to make ends meet. And these are sometimes some individuals who, because of the plan set up by the employer, just say, well, I can't afford another $100 or $200 or $200 a month for insurance, and I need to put food on the table, so that's the choice I have to make.
Well, and you know, Bill, another thing, and this is, I'm going to get on my soapbox a little bit here. I've been complaining. I've been actually raising a lot of cane at the Democrats in the Senate for killing the small business health plans a couple of weeks ago. And a lot of people in some states, you talked about they can't afford it. Some states require that every insurance policy that you offer be loaded up with all kinds of you know, esoteric health benefits there's a lot of different things. Like, I can't even think of all the different ones, but things that everybody doesn't need, everybody doesn't want to pay for, but it's required.
It's a wide range of services that makes the plan unaffordable.
Exactly, for the employer and the employee.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't get it. I'm mad at the Republicans about a lot of stuff right now, folks. But this is one thing the Republicans are right on, and that's health care for small business. The Democrats are wrong about this. And now I'm off my soapbox, at least for now. 20 after, I'm Jim Blassingame. We'll be right back with Bill Hubbard.
That's HUBBARTT. And you go there, and you'll see a line of books across the front of the page that are some of the books that I've written and sources of articles that I've written and other information relating to human resources consulting and HIPAA and policy manuals and benefits advice and whatever we can do to help you out in the human resources arena.
Hubbard.com, HUBBARTT.com. I hope you'll check it out, folks, and I really hope you'll take advantage on those employee policy manuals. Bill is an expert in that, and folks, you need to think about getting employee policy manuals. If you don't already have them, you need to think about getting those, because Bill, not only does that help you set things up right for your employees, but it can help you on the back end too. If you've established how you expect everyone to behave, the company and the employees initially, and down the road, whenever there's any kind of you may get a lawsuit from an employee one of these days. And if they try to claim that things were a certain way, and you can produce a document that shows that you'd already anticipated, that kind of behavior, and that it's against the company policy for that sort of thing to happen, it may wind up saving you a lot of grief.
It certainly will. When those lawsuits come in, one of the first questions they ask is, what was the policy? How was it administered?
Right.
How were other employees similarly affected?
And where is it? How can I read it right now?
Exactly.
That's what they'll say. So anyway, check it out, folks, when you get a chance, Hubbard.com. Okay, Bill, let's talk about some more of these national examples of employee benefits.
Well, we were talking about health insurance a moment ago. Another common one is dental plans. They're around pretty frequently, but not as frequent as the health health plan. Typically, 46% of workers have an opportunity to take advantage of that, but the data shows that only about 36% of workers participate in the dental plans. Likewise, vision care is offered to about 30% of workers, and about 22% typically participate. So again, we're seeing this issue with, while the firms that offer the benefit, there's a cost associated with it, and some employees elect to take it, and some employees elect not to.
All right. Well, you know, and that is an interesting thing. And again, some of the employees who elect not to take this coverage. And by the way, everybody who's offered a vacation takes that, Bill. They always do that.
But, pretty much, yeah.
Because that doesn't cost them anything. But a lot of employees, especially the younger ones, will say, you know, I'd rather party with that $100 a month than to get health insurance. I don't, you know, I'm gonna worry about health insurance later. I'll sleep when I'm dead. Whatever, you know, they just have a different attitude about it than us older guys, Bill. But they get counted when people are talking about when politicians are talking about the Americans who don't have health care coverage. They get counted in that number, even though they've refused to be insured.
That's true. That's true. And until they turn about 40 and then they start thinking about these issues.
When they start having more trouble getting up out of the chair and, you know,
yeah.
or when they don't bend over, you know, and go down on the floor to pick up anything until they have two or three things to do while they're down there, that's when they start thinking about insurance. Okay, what else?
Retirement plans is another area. About 60% of workers have an opportunity to participate in a retirement plan, and about 50% of those chose to participate. And again, some of these plans require an employee contribution rather than strictly an employer contribution. And actually, I'm seeing more of a trend in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
In the past, you used to see a lot of what were referred to as defined benefit plans and defined.
Those are now called Tyrannosaurus Rex.
That's about it.
You see any of those lately, folks?
They're
extinct. Defined benefit plans are extinct. The only ones that aren't extinct are the ones that are just legacy plans that are just holding over to be rung out in this century. Have you heard of anybody starting a defined benefit plan lately, Bill?
No, I haven't.
How long? 20 years, maybe?
Oh, probably close to that. Yeah. The key direction now is more along the lines of what we might refer to as the 401k plan, the kind of a savings investment type of a plan where the employee can participate.
Aren't those called defined contribution plans? Isn't that another sort of a generic term for those?
You could fit those into that category.
Okay.
So those are more typically what we see is the type of plan where the employee can make a contribution, and then some of the plans allow the employer to typically make a contribution or to match the employee's contribution up to some specified limit. So there's a greater direction of plans in those areas, and this is one of these things where, again, like you say, the youngster would rather party and deal with today rather than look for tomorrow. But for the individuals who have an opportunity to get into a retirement plan, certainly the advice of us guys that have been around for a while is to say, get something started, make some kind of an investment in that, and even if you're putting $10 or $20 or $50 or $100 a month away, you begin to put that away, and after a while it will accumulate, and by the time you're ready to start thinking about it, you'll have a nest egg that's there to take care of you, because certainly we know our Social Security nest egg is not going to be as beneficial as we once thought it was.
When Einstein was asked what was the most powerful force in the world, he said compound interest.
Good point.
Hey, Bill, give us that website again, please.
Hubbert.com, H-U-B-B-A-R-T-T.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you checked out his website, if you know anything about Bill, you know he's the best. Bill, thank you for being here. Good job today, as always, and we'll see you next time.
Always glad to be part of the program.
Bill Hubbert, ladies and gentlemen. Quick break, right back with Rick Pinion right after these messages. Stay with us.
For the fulcrum in the void, following a destiny our steps cannot avoid.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.